Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the word to transform lives.
What a year it has been. I would say a full year for PGAFC. I know a 7-minute video cannot tell the whole story, but it captures some of what God has allowed us to see and be part of in 2025. I thank God for every act of service, every life touch, every step of obedience taken by each of us to love God, love people, and make disciples. And as I celebrate these God moments, I also deeply aware of something else, and that none of this is sustainable without God's Spirit. Because behind the scenes, I and pastors and leaders, we go around talking to different people who serve. And some of you are here this morning and you have said to us that you feel dry. Sometimes, you know, you feel like you serve but you reap very little. Or you are tired physically. I'm aging before my time. I feel I'm striving through the year. And at times you feel it's almost joyless serving God. Now, there may be plenty of reasons why we feel the dryness and at times the lack of joy in our service, in our life. But I wonder if one of the reasons could be this. In doing life, in doing ministry, maybe we have been striving with our own strength. And if we carry the same patterns of self-dependence into this new year, even with good intentions, even with faithful hearts, how would this year be any different than last year? That's why as we step into 2026, before we talk about vision, strategy, ministry plans, we need to talk about dependence. Or Elder Comfort has led us on Holy Communion, and he talks about this word, surrendered life to the Lord. And that is why our team for 2026 is not about doing more, but about receiving more, and specifically receiving more of the Spirit, the power from on high, which is promised by Jesus in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Some of you, most of you by now would know that I will be studying part-time while serving full-time. Some of you are surprised to see me here this morning. So I feel like, hey, why are you here? Like not welcome like that, you know. Anyway, it's okay. You won't see me anymore for a long, long time. Not a long, long time. Now, once in a while, you'll still see me. But you know that I'll be serving full-time still in the church, but I'll be studying part-time during the weekends. And I was telling Gary just 2 weeks ago that I was very anxious for 2026 because, you know, last year we go and announce loud to the church that I'm going to study. And, you know, some ideas are very good until you have to do it. This is definitely one of them. And the last time I passed up an assignment was in 2006 for my in seminary school. And assignment with footnoting and doing exam in 2006. 20 years ago, today I have lesser brain space, I have more responsibilities, and it's a totally new field of study. I am fearful. Then, of course, Gary being my husband, he say, told you lah, why won't study? No, he say, you can do it, okay? But he say, I need a lot more things, like, you know, doubting my decision. What if I do not pass even semester one? Initially, I thought the elders were very nice to me. Oh, I met them, they say, yeah, never mind, don't worry, just get C enough. Then I realized they meant C for Chemelang. What if it so interferes with my work that I perform poorly both in my work as well as in my studies? What if I did worse than my son, who is also in college? I think that's the worst. So how embarrassing would that be? The more I think about it, the more I feel the limitation, how limited I am. I wanted to be faithful in all that I'm called to do, but if the only thing I can rely on is my own strength and my capacity, I'm quite sure that I will fail. And that is not just my story. That is the human condition, which brings us to the question behind our team. Why talk about receiving the Spirit when we already have the Spirit? If you are a Christian, you will say, I already have the Holy Spirit. I receive Him when I believe in Him, when I believe in Jesus. That's true. Ephesians 1 tells us when you believe in Him, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and believe in Him, we are already sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance. So why talk again about receiving the Spirit again? To answer that, we must let Scripture speak slowly and steadily. So would you turn with me to Romans chapter 8. It's a whole passage of Romans 8 after Romans 7, and I will read from 5 to 17 here and there. So please bear with me. It's a rather long passage, but I think it's important to understand why do we need to receive the Spirit again. Verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your own adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now we are children, we are also heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. This passage that we have just read, is written to believers. If you read from chapter 8, verse 1 all the way to 4, it will tell you that there is now no condemnation for those who believe in Jesus Christ. This passage, when Paul said and speak it, people who are already belong to Christ, like you and I, already justified, already forgiven, already indwelt by the Spirit. Paul says clearly in verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. This is our identity and assurance. Once we place our trust in Jesus, formerly we were in the flesh, doing what our flesh taught us to do. But now you are safe. You are in another realm. Paul says we are in the realm of the Spirit. So we indeed have the Spirit. If you are a believer, you already received the Spirit. You have the Spirit in you. But Paul does not stop there. And he goes on to say in verse 12 to 13, therefore we have an obligation, not to the flesh, but live according to it. But if by Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will then live. Because right now we belong to this new realm, the realm of the Spirit, we have an obligation to live accordingly to what the Spirit desires. We must cooperate with the Spirit and act with his help to kill the misdeeds of our body. But yet in practice, we don't see that happen very, very consistently. We actually neglect God's prompting to do so. Just go back to Romans 7, you will read that. Paul says very loudly that he wanted to do certain things, but he couldn't do. He tried to not do what the Spirit tell him not to do, but yet he still does it. So there was this war of the flesh against the Spirit. But yet, Paul gives us here in verse 12 and 13, if by the Spirit. So it talks about the fact that sometimes we actually strive to do things on our own, even things about following Jesus in the Spirit. And then Paul concludes, for all who are led by the Spirit are now sons and daughters of God. Only those who yield to the Spirit's work are children of God. We receive Jesus, we have the Spirit. But there's this part about being led by the Spirit. And if you are led by the Spirit, then you are children of God. Here is the key distinction of Romans 8. Just because you have the Spirit doesn't mean you are being led by the Spirit. The Spirit may dwell in us, but the question is whether the Spirit directs our life. Or let me put it this way. You have the Spirit, but does the Spirit have you? Imagine with me, someone give you a key. to your house. Okay, you give someone key to your house. You told him, feel free to enter every room. You are not a stranger. Welcome, welcome to my house. Make yourself feel welcome. You belong here. But every time this person tries to change something, maybe want to rearrange the furniture, throw away the clutter piling up in your storeroom, repaint your wall, or fix your broken pipe. You know, you can tell this person, no, 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 please, please, please don't touch that. No, 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 don't throw those boxes away. I know it looks like these empty bottles are useless to you, but leave them. One day, I will make sure I will use them. You have the Holy Spirit is when you give Him access into your life. Give Him the key into your life. But the Holy Spirit does not have you when He has no authority to do what pleases Him. Every time He tries to rearrange something uncomfortable regarding your life, you say, no, not that room, Lord. Not that habit. Please don't take away that relationship. Not that ambition. Do not touch those areas. The Holy Spirit does not have us when He has no authority to remove what clutters our heart. He certainly does not have us when He speaks. We reserve the right to whether listen or ignore His voice. The Holy Spirit does not have us when He's only allowed to enter, but is not allowed to rule over our lives. So yes, we have received the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us, but we have an obligation that to choose to walk according to what He desires, to be led by Him. And that can only happen when we continue to receive His power and His strength to live according to what He pleases. So receiving the Spirit is an ongoing thing. But frankly, this is one of the most difficult things that we have to do. We often get stuck here. We know the right theology. We know we already have the Spirit. We already know the truth. We affirm the truth of Romans 8 that we read this morning. We can explain adoption, assurance, and yet we feel nothing changes. We do a lot of things. We even say we do those things so that we can follow after God. But yet, certain things are still missing. What is missing in my life? Why am I striving? And why is there no progress in my life? Let me use a contemporary picture to illustrate what's really going on when this is you today. Many years ago, when Gary was working in some other company, they offer the spouse free claims for wellness program. I thought so happy, can go facial, massage, wellness, but the company defined wellness is to suffer in gym. Anyway, so I forced myself to go. Why? Free. So I said, I'll go. So I walk in and there's one nearby. So I go there and that was the first time I met my personal trainer. How many of you know this thing called personal trainer in gym? All the gym junkie. Personal trainer is a service offered by somebody who maybe already trained, very well trained himself and want to teach people how to get themselves, their body right in that sense. So they are a service provider, okay? So as a personal trainer, this guy who assigned to me is very motivated from the start. He sit with me and say, so Alexa, why do you come to the gym? I say, it's free. Then he say, okay, we have some work to do. Then he will say things like, okay, what do you try to achieve? I say, I have fats here and there. I want to lose sleep. I don't want to lose so thin and all that. I want to lose enough, maybe 3 kg. Then which part you want to lose? What kind of exercise have you been doing? Because he doesn't want to start you too difficult, right? So he was very motivated to help me to reach a certain goal, to have progress in my life, to keep fit. So he understands my needs, take time to listen, customize a plan, how to help me. Very approachable, always nearby, always right next to me when I was doing some pulling some rope or whatever. Not like some of us think that you can reach fitness by watching some YouTube trainer. Some of us do that because we cheapskate, don't want to pay, right? We watch the YouTube trainer and cannot keep fit one. Because even if you do wrongly, right, there's no personal trainer at your house to tell you to do it properly. Whether it's lifting weight or whether you do squat, I don't want to do it here, but I can. Lunges, use equipment in the gym, my personal trainer has the ability to see weaknesses that I ignore. And I was doing it, he will start correcting my form. This is not the way. When you come down slowly to a certain point, down more. Okay, a little bit down more, then I'll be sitting, preaching. Then if it's a wrong way, he knows I will hurt myself. He'll tell me, don't go that way. Do it properly. Now, a few times, I find myself really want to give up training. But my personal trainer is so good. He keep on encouraging me. And he pushed me to continue. You can do it, one, Alexa. You can do it, one. Of course, it's easy, lah. You are just standing telling me to do. You realize that? You can do it, one. But of course, he's also not a slave driver. He knows when to push me, and he knows when to rest me. Beyond the training, my personal trainer also talked to me about diet. What allowed to go into my body? Do you know that you can do all the training in the world, but you still have to eat right? Agree? Yeah, I thought you do training, no need. I can still eat my siu yok. I can still eat all my tiramisu, for example. He said, no. Garbage in, your thigh will get flat. Things like that. Okay. Like personal trainer also do like that. Huh? They come near you to fix things for you. Okay? Eat wisely. Get rid of your bad eating habits. Holy Spirit is similar to this personal trainer of mine. And he does exactly all that. Guiding me, consoling me, comforting me, stretching me, encouraging me, advising me, strengthening me. He does all these and more. But here's the thing. Along the way, I feel there's too much adjustment to make to get to the goal my personal trainer has set for me. So I find myself still going to the gym, still paying the gym membership, but I ignore the trainer. I ignore the training tips. Whatever he counseled me to do and not to do, I totally ignore it because that will need a lot of adjustment for me. And I choose to use my own method. I revert back to using my own strength. And when I do that, I find that nothing changes. Still, my fat is still retained. I'm still flabby in certain areas of my body. And whatever problems I hope to be fixed before I go to the gym, they are still here. In fact, it has gotten worse. All because I choose to ignore my personal trainer and go my own way. Romans 8:13, if by the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the body, we will live. Transformation, Paul says, happens only when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, lead us, and be led by Him. Not we ourselves strive harder with our own strength and try our own method, doing it our own way. We can still try all we want with our own strength, but it can only get us that far and achieve that certain goal that we want, but we won't achieve more than that. Without depending on the Holy Spirit, Paul says that a lot of things are futile. That's why my first point is this. The necessity of receiving the Spirit is that we, without the Spirit, we are doomed to fail in achieving some of these goals that we have set for ourselves. And the second point of my sermon is we need to rely on the Spirit because this second thing the Holy Spirit is sent to us to do, if we don't rely on the Spirit, it would never even happen in our life. And this when we find in 10 verses 10 to 11. Paul says, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Here Paul makes something very important for us. He equates Christ in you with the Spirit in you. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not doing a separate work from Jesus Christ. The Spirit's work is to bring the life of Christ into us. And without the work of the Holy Spirit, this part of ourselves, when we say we want to be more Christ-like, that is not going to happen on its own or even with our own strength. It is by the Spirit, through the Spirit work, that Christ is formed in us. The Spirit's work is to bring the life of Christ into us. The same resurrection life that raised Jesus from the dead is now active within people like us, ordinary, limited people like us. And the role, his role, is not merely helping us to behave better or cope better with life. He's doing something far better. Spirit's most important work in us is to form Christ in us. That is why Paul moved immediately to relational language in verse 15. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is not a formal title. Do you remember? This is Jesus' own prayer language. Whenever He prays, Jesus addressed the Father with Abba, in full trust, full intimacy, full dependence on Him. And now Paul says, by the Spirit, that same cry rises within us. And just as Jesus trusts, depend, and obey the Father, Spirit right now is working in us, shaping us to also have that same kind of quality of intimacy with our Abba Father. And this is very important because I often think we call upon the Spirit only when we need successes in ministry. We need certain things. So we say, Spirit of God, fall upon our life. We need to get rid of this, get rid of that. So we ask the Spirit of God to help us. Nothing wrong with that. But Spirit's first and foremost work is not power for ministry, not success in life, not effectiveness, even on how we serve, but the formation of relationship. The Spirit teaches us to relate to God the way Jesus does. That is why Paul says in verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. To be led by the Spirit is not merely to receive guidance for decision. We don't come to the Holy Spirit just for that. Then we miss the whole point on why the Spirit is sent to us. It is for us to live as sons and daughters of the Most High God so that we can be secure. We can learn to trust God, learn to obey Him just as Jesus trusted His Father. This is what Jesus Himself says before He went off. He said, if I do not go, I cannot send you this paraclete, advocate. Different version have different strengthener, comforter, counselor, friend, helper. This paraclete will come and He is the Spirit of truth. He will come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He speaks only what He hears of and from Jesus. His main goal is to glorify Jesus because it is from Him that the Holy Spirit receives what He makes known to each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit does not speak on His own agenda. He does not draw attention to Himself. His main goal is to come to glorify Jesus Christ, to make Him known, to make Him nearer to us, to make Him be trusted and be loved by His people. So no matter what the whole role of the Holy Spirit is, because the paraclete is such a rich word and term that encompasses all the role of the Holy Spirit, and no matter which role He plays at every different phases of our life, the goal is always the same. It is so that Christ may be formed in each of us. And that's why Scripture speaks not only of having the Spirit, but the importance of being filled with the Spirit. Hailed as the Calvinist Methodist preacher and was hailed as key person for the 18th century Methodist revival, Martin Lloyd-Jones, most of you will know him, well-known minister, preacher, and a medical doctor. He ministered and authored many books till the day he died in 1981. Near the end of the ministry, somebody asked him a question. Dr. Martin, can you tell us what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And he used a very simple image. I love this image that he gave about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said it's like this. Imagine a child walking with a father, holding hand. They walk, like in a park. The child is safe. He knows he belongs. He believes his father loves him. There is no crisis in the relationship. He feels secure. All is well. But suddenly, the father stops and look at the boy and lift up the boy and start to hug him and kiss him. And then after that, look at him, oh, my son, I love you so much. And then after that, kiss him again, hug him again. And then holding the child stunned back, look at him again and say, I am so glad you are mine. Then hugging him one more with warmth and with affection, then he put the child down. Now, the child don't know what to feel. Stunned. What just happened? Don't know whether he should cry or not, or whether he should stop walking, start walking and ask the father. But one thing he knows, this child is so happy. He could have doubts about the father's love previously. He could have many questions, but they were all swept away in the overwhelming love the father gave him. In that image, nothing about the relationship changes. The child was already a son. But everything deepens. That, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, is what happens when the Spirit fills us. The Spirit does not change our status. We are children of God. But He strengthens that assurance. Because there are times in our life, if we are honest, we don't feel that we are children of God. We don't feel we are the daughters and sons of God. But yet, Holy Spirit fills us if we allow Him to deepen that assurance and whisper to us that we are His. And God is very glad to call us His. Holy Spirit takes what is already true, what Christ said about us, and make it so true, even more true to us. He bears with our spirit that we are God's children. Is that not what many of us long for? That we want a deeper knowing of who our God is? That we want a renewed joy this coming year? That we want to have an assurance that no matter what happens in our life, we are loved, we are held, and we are secure in God's hand. In days to come, we will hear exposition of what the Spirit empowers us to do, to witness, to live life conforming to the image of Christ, to do mighty acts in Jesus' name, to bear fruit of the Spirit, persevere in adversity, to guard ourselves against sin, experience new vibrancy of worship. But today, if I may, I want us to remember this image of what Lloyd-Jones gave us. That as we prepare to receive the Spirit and call upon Him to empower us from on high, we will be filled with that joy and vibrancy of spiritual life. And I think this is an image I hope I will see in the life of our people this coming year. That God will fill you with so much joy, so much life, His life, that every moment we are awake or we are asleep, we are assured that we are walking in His will, we are being led by Him to live this kind of vibrant life in Him. And that can only come when we are filled with the Spirit. A week before entering 2026, I led the staff in a simple exercise. We paused to release 2025 to acknowledge both what God has done and how tired maybe some of us feel. Then I asked them a question. What might the Spirit want to shape in us this coming year? What might the Holy Spirit want to shape in us this coming year? So each person wrote a thing and then they passed it to me. I said, at the end of the year, I will pass it back to you and see whether the Lord has led you thus far. After that, each member reached into a bag and they received a small keychain. And this is a keychain done by Leon using his own machine. Symbol of the Spirit. Yeah, I think in days to come, one of the preachers or some of our preachers will put that. So a dove, a flame, oil and water. Okay, there's also wind, but wind very difficult to do, so we drop out wind, okay? And I told the staff, these are not merely decorations. They are reminders of what the Spirit does when we submit to His leadership. You see, church, our spiritual life does not flow just because we strive harder. It will not. Our spiritual life can only flow in the same direction where God wants us to go, if we stay surrendered to Him. That's the only key. If we live life led by Him, if we live life wanting to be filled by Him continually. So as we step into 2026, the invitation is simple. Let's be open to receiving the Spirit again and again. Or as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, 18, be filled with the Spirit continually, again and again. Not just once, but again and again. Placing ourselves again and again under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, under God's influence and leadership. And to say, I'm not happy to just have you in my life. I want you, Holy Spirit, to have all of me. And when that happens, you will see Christ be formed more and more deeply in us. And then we will know, we will love, and we will trust and glorify Jesus more. As we respond with this song, which we introduced at the pre-service prayer this morning, I want us to notice how closely the words echo everything we have been hearing from Romans 8. To want to be led by the Spirit is not to rush ahead of Him, but to lean in, quiet other voices so we can hear His, and to let everything else wait and say, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more. I know it's a dangerous thing to do in the midst of a sermon to ask people to close their eyes. But I would like you to do this pondering together. Can I ask you to close your eyes right now? Before we even sing this song, I want to extend the question that I extended to the staff 2 weeks ago. What might the Spirit want to shape in you this coming year? Let's spend some time to hear what the Spirit speaks to you. What might the Spirit want to shape in you this coming year? Is it a habit that the Spirit wants you to get rid of? Is it a heart of courage to do His work? Is it self-dependence? Is God telling you to stop striving so hard, but to learn to lean harder on Him? Whatever you have committed to the Lord, as we sing this song, I invite you to let the words become your prayer. At the start of the new year, let's do this, church. Ask the Holy Spirit to breathe upon us so that He can come and do what only He can do.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.